This is the conference operator. The recording has been started.
Thank you very much. I was about to ask for that. So, hello everyone, and welcome to this CCWG on Enhancing Accountability Meeting 54 on the 22nd of September 2015. And as usual, we will be doing the roll call with those present in the other connect room. And is there anyone that is on the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room? This is the time for you to kindly state your name so we can have you to the roll call. Is there anyone in the phone bridge that is not connected to the Adobe Connect room?
Leon, Cheryl here.
Cheryl, thank you very much. Staff, could you please ask? Could you please add Cheryl to the roll call on the phone bridge? Is there anyone else besides Cheryl?
Greg Chatton.
Thank you very much, Greg. Can you please also note that Greg Chatton is in the phone bridge? Someone else in the phone bridge? Okay, so having no one else on the phone bridge, I would like you to remind you of filing your statement of interest if you haven't done so. So please approach a staff member to in order to get help with filing your statement of interest as soon as possible. And with no further delay, I will now turn to my co-chair, Matthew, for the next agenda item. Matthew?
Thank you very much, Leon. And hello, everyone. This is Matthew Vey speaking. And most of our call today is going to be focused on the preparations for the upcoming Los Angeles face-to-face meeting. This particular agenda item is to get back to the main tool that will be ours to assess the various comments, and it's the public comment tool that has been circulated yesterday in an Excel spreadsheet format. And I would first like to congratulate staff, Bernie, Alice, Grace, for the tremendous work that has been undertaken to provide us with a very clear section-by-section analysis of the comments. This is a very useful tool, and the some of the contributions we've received on the public comment were long and detailed, and so it's been a very important piece of work that has been delivered in a short time and in time for our meeting in Los Angeles. This tool is the one of the most significant inputs we'll have to the Los Angeles meeting. So I would encourage everyone to review it, get familiar with it, probably look through the various comments. The common understanding of the comments we've received is one of the prerequisites for a successful meeting in Los Angeles. And one of the suggestion that we're making is that while you go through this material, obviously very substantial, is that you try and identify a couple of key points you're making from this. It could be agreements that you're noting and that we can congratulate ourselves on. It could be issues that we really need to discuss or we really might have to adjust to. But if each of us, participants, members, whether we are in Los Angeles physically or participating remotely, does that, that will certainly help in getting clarity about what the next steps for our group should be. And so I would definitely encourage everyone to do that. Another input is going to be probably the maybe the community forum discussion that has been taking place in the Work Party 1. And so we will add this to the inputs to the Los Angeles meeting. It has been progressing. It will still be in draft mode, but that's another input to get familiar with. And I think those are the, and we will receive, we haven't so far, memos from our lawyers on the comparison between the single member model and the MEM, I don't remember what MEM stands for, the MEM model. So that will be most of the reading that has to be done in preparation for Los Angeles. I see Alice has shared the link for all of this. Before turning to Thomas for a more insightful discussion about the meeting itself, is there are there any comments on the comment tool or the various comments we've received so far? I should add that I, from the outreach we have undertaken after last week's meeting to SSAC and RSAC, I'm expecting that we will receive some communication from SSAC very shortly now. So that would be an addition. And there were a couple of Chinese comments submitted to our public comment period, which are under translation at this point, so they will. That will be a couple of additions in terms of comments. I see Alan's hand is up. Please, Alan.
Thank you very much. I would think one of the pieces of information going into Los Angeles that would be rather useful is a formal statement from the ASO on whether they do plan to participate in the model or not. Now, I may have missed it, but I don't believe that we've ever had such a confirmation. And in light of the comments the NRO support submitted, which are not in strong favor of the model proposal, I think that's an important piece of information that we need going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So you obviously have information that I'm not aware of. Do we have anyone from the AOC ASO membership who could confirm whether we can expect something from ASO before LA? I'm looking through the list, not seeing Izumi or others.
Athena's on the call, I believe.
Athena's on the call?
No.
Yes. So Athena, if you have the ability to confirm, that would be much appreciated. And so, please, Athena. Athena? You have the floor. You may be muted.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Perfect.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you for that. We will come back with a statement on that. Thanks a lot.
Will that be before Los Angeles or...?
Yes, before Los Angeles. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And to respond to a question raised by Cavus in the chat, yes, the legal team has been studying the legal validity and the comparison, mostly, of the membership or the MEM model, and so we should be receiving material quite shortly now, as Holly has confirmed in the chat. And so I think with that, these are the main inputs for us to read over in the plane for those participating physically or having with us while we have the meeting. And I will now turn to Thomas to get more into the agenda setting and meeting organization. Thomas?
Thanks very much, Mathieu, and hello, everyone. This is Thomas Rickert. I have two little slide decks for you. The first one you almost know already by now, and that is on the meeting rules. So we would like to just briefly run through them so everybody knows what to expect during our face-to-face meeting in a few days. So this is currently being uploaded in the Adobe room. Okay, so if we could move to the next slide, please. So this problem statement scope and definition of work streams is what you already know. So that's basically what enshrines our work. So we can move to the next slide, please. So we would like to get contributions from members as well as participants, and we plan to make sure that we get a balance of contributors, so that we would try to ensure that not only a few in the group take the floor too often. Can you please mute your microphones? It will be very valuable for us to get written contributions because I'm sure that many of us need to consider and think about what is being contributed, particularly if you have very substantive ideas to bring to the table. So preparation is going to be key, and we have a couple of documents underway, such as the public comment tool and the legal assessment of the multi-stakeholder enforcement model for everyone to look at. So it will be difficult for us to come to the meeting or attend the meeting remotely and find ourselves in a situation where people come up with completely new ideas that can't be analyzed on the spot. So if you have substantial ideas or substantial alterations to propose, please do so as early as possible. We would also like to remind everyone, and I'm very glad that Bruce Tonkin has confirmed this on the list, that the CCWG proposal, as defined in the second report, will be the basis of our discussion. There were some who thought that we would maybe take the board's paper as a starting point for our discussion. That will not be the case. So we will do as we did after the first public comment, i.e. we will walk through the different areas of our report and analyze all community input we receive. So try to keep your interventions during the meeting concise and focused. We will have the clock available. We hope that we're not going to have to use it. So let's please be sort of disciplined and try to keep our statements as brief as possible to allow broadest possible participation from broadest possible number of participants in the room as well as remotely. And for areas that are broadly supported, we should retain the flexibility of having day one and day two distinct meetings so that we can have two readings of a question over these 2 days and ensure that we can take stock of the progress made during this period, certainly only in areas where the group has reached consensus. Next slide, please. So this is just a reminder, and I'm not going to walk through all of those, but the key criteria for decision-making are primarily NTIA criteria, the CWG stewardship requirements, which, as you know, provide a conditionality in a sense that if we do not meet the CWG requirements, the support from chartering organizations for the CWG requirements would be jeopardized. We need to find consensus across the members of the CCWG, but ideally we would get consensus from everyone participating in the process. Consensus in this regard not necessarily being full consensus, but rough consensus. And let's also remember that we have two work streams, and I think we've been very clear on this. Nonetheless, there is some continuous confusion surrounding these. We are now exclusively working on work stream one item. So the items that we're working on are the ones deemed by the group as required to either be put in place or committed to prior to the transition. That is the area where we're going to work with respect to work stream number two is the list of items that are going to be looked at in work stream number two, but not the substantive discussion of these items. Next slide, please. And that's actually going to be the final slide. And that's, again, the work stream one and work stream two distinct. So I guess what we should all take away is that our accountability enhancements are not limited to what is required for the IANA functions. In fact, our charter is broader. We need to look at improving and enhancing ICANN's accountability for the organization as such and the community as such. This is sometimes still misunderstood in the sense that individuals think that we can strip out areas of what we think needs to be done in workstream number one because it's not directly associated to the IANA functions. But actually, our charter and the definition offered by NTIA is quite clear on this. Our mission is broader, and should actually this need revision, I think we would need to look at the overall NTIA requirements. So that's it in a nutshell in terms of arrangements for the meeting. And while Steph put up the next slide deck, which will be a little bit more substantive for our preparation, let me open it up for questions, concerns, remarks on these agreements for the meeting. So there don't seem to be any hands raised or comments on this. Ellen has his hand raised. Ellen.
Thank you. Two things. My recollection is there's at least one item and perhaps more that are identified in the proposal as to be done during implementation of Workstream 1. Given the current belief that what we come up with at Workstream 1 has to be complete, we may have to make sure that those items, or the item if there is only one, is actually complete out of our proposal. So. Perhaps we need to go through it. I believe it was related to criteria for board removal, but I'm not 100% sure. It may have been something else. But if it's still there, then indeed, I think we need to move that out of account, out of implementation and back into Workstream 1 proper. That's point number one. Point number two, and I'm not reopening the discussion, but I have a very strong recollection that in the charter, Workstream 1 was indeed just things related to the transition. We made a change on that. It was agreed to by the Workstream by the CCWG, and none of the chartering bodies objected at the time. But the charter was more specific than that. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Regarding your two points, let me pick up the second point first. So I guess the answer is that Workstream 1 relates to accountability enhancements that must be in place or committed to prior to the transition. But that's related to the IANA function. These are accountability enhancements that the community feels need to be put in place to replace their historic backstop of the historic relationship with the U.S. government. And that can be unrelated to the IANA functions, but yet necessary to put ICANN in a situation so that it is safeguarded against contingencies. With respect to your first point, I guess you're touching upon an important point, and that is that what we thought is part of our plan is deemed as our report being patchy or having gaps by others. So we thought that we come up with recommendations that offer an implementable solution within workstream number one, where we spell out the basic pillars, the basic ideas of our recommendations, and flesh out the details as we move on, but still hopefully well before the transition actually takes place, i.e. before the IANA contract ends. There are others who say that we need to provide all this detail with the submission of our report. And I think it would be worthwhile seeking more clarity on that, maybe with NTIA. It is my understanding that, for example, we do not need the full set of bylaws finally drafted with our report, but that can be done as we move on. But I think that we should work on the assumption that we need an implementable solution, but not yet a fully implemented solution with our submission. I saw Becky's hand was raised, but the hand has been lowered. Becky, do you still want to speak?
No, thank you. You said exactly what I was going to say about the scope.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, let's move to the second slide deck, and I couldn't resist calling this On My Way to L.A., and actually those that are of my age remember the song by Phil Carmen by that title, but actually this is not a way by a single individual, but it's our way. So this little title gave me an excellent opportunity to emphasize that this is not something for individuals or for individual interests, but this is a joint exercise. So it's our way to LA, and a lot of preparation is actually needed in order to make the best out of this meeting. So that was the first point, the title I found funny. And then I read when this title came back to me when I wrote these slides, I looked at some of the YouTube comments for the song. And let me quote one for you. Somebody wrote, "What a long, deep fall from Phil Carmen to gangster rap. The world has not improved since then. On the contrary." And the second sentence made me think that we should not be looking back to what we're doing here and allow for anyone to say that the world has not, or ICANN has not improved since the LA meeting, and that it even got worse, but we are there in order to make ICANN a better place, a more trustworthy place, a more accountable place. So I think in that spirit, we should prepare for LA, embark on our journey to LA. So let's move to the next slide, please. Actually, I'd like to take you through four areas of preparation. And these are just suggestions. So let me please run you through these slides. They're not wordy. And then we'll open it up for discussion. First item would be, let's have a comparison chart.
I will.
So let's have a comparison chart of the various models that are under discussion. Then we think it might be worthwhile double-checking our requirements list. We should identify priorities, and all of us should help draft an agenda for LA. So let's move to the next slide, please. So as you might remember, and this is actually the link in very small font size, you might remember that our lawyers have already prepared some months ago a comparison chart of the different models. You find that there for your personal reference, so you can go into that. But actually, it walks the reader of the slides through the various aspects of the different models to help our group make an informed decision as to what requirements are important, where issues lie, where the benefits and the downsides of the various models were. And our suggestion would be to ask our lawyers, and we hope that they can make it for LA, to have a comparison chart for all the models that we've discussed. To have this base, to have this comparison chart that we had, and add the MEM as well as the single designator model to it, so that we have everything more or less on one slide. Now you might ask yourself, why the single designator model? I know Alan Greenberg for many years now, and you know, if I don't bring it up, he's brought it up on the list, and I'm sure he will bring it up during the LA meeting. So I think we should have all the options that were proposed on the table, not only for our group to revisit our decision and look for the best available option for ICANN, but also to suit NTIA's needs and to help us document a discussion on all the options that we had. So our suggestion would be to have a revised comparison chart with all the options on the table so that we can take a look at them and look at whether the comparison chart, and that's what should be the second point on the slide, accurately reflects the pros and cons of the models. So maybe something is a pro or a feature for some, and it's a bug for others. And that's something that we should agree on. So that should be more or less the neutral or independent or unbiased description of the various models and form the basis for our decision-making and our discussion. So that's one. Let's move to the next slide, please. Then let's look at the list of requirements, and let's check whether this list is complete and whether maybe it can be improved in some areas. So on the next slide, to which we can move now, I've put in some points which were my personal takeaways. They are in no way the view of the co-chairs, nor are they the views of this group, but they are my observations. So if you remember the list of requirements, we have never added, although we discussed this a lot and although we got a lot of input during the first public comment period, a criterion how easy an enhanced accountability structure in ICANN can be explained to the outside world. I have vivid memory of Tijani and others saying this needs to be easy to explain. People need to be able to understand what we're doing. They need to understand how ICANN works, how ICANN's accountability works. So it may be worthwhile considering making the ease of understanding or the ease of messaging what we're doing a criterion for our decision making. Then, next point, again, my personal observation, whether we increase or decrease our chances in Congress if we go with one or the other model. There have been innuendos all over the place that, you know, we should not just following what some think is going to happen on the Hill. Others say it's important to keep that to make that part of our decision making. So it seems to be a concern by many that the political scene or political acceptance of our recommended changes are an important factor. Yet we've never made it a requirement for our work. Third point, the budget community power is being discussed all over the place. It's a very I remember Shirin Chalabi has written a lengthy note, I think months back, on unintended consequences. So he was quite concerned with the budget community power. So were many others. But actually, our community power is a combined community power on budget, strategic plan, and operating plan. So it might be an opportunity for us to split the three and say, okay, there doesn't seem to be so much of an issue with the strategic plan or the operating plan, so why not make that a quick win for our consensus building? Why not separate out the budget community power and maybe find an alternative way or a slightly tweaked approach to the budget community power? And lastly, we've been discussing quite a bit that we need enforceability. And the board has worked to give us exactly that. They took what they understood was a requirement from our group and tried to translate that into a model which they think is better than what we've come up with. And if you look at the discussion on these calls, if you look at the exchange of emails on the list, you will easily find that enforceability is not a single dimension topic. So maybe we need to flesh that out a little bit more. So talk about enforceability. What is really crucial? What are the essential bits of enforceability that this group needs? And maybe that will help us define common ground or look at ways to reconcile differences between the various views that are being held in the community comprising the board. So these are only 4 points that I found which we might consider to use as the basis for amending our list of requirements. There might be more, but I think you as group members, should come up with suggestions on whether or not, and if so, in what way we should tweak our requirements. Next slide, please. There should be one before that. Have you maybe skipped one? No. Oh, then I must have... No, go one back, please. I made a mistake. I deleted, and so one back. I deleted accidentally the third or the slide speaking to the third agenda point. I'm going to deliver it to you, and it will be sent to the list. And that was actually homework for the group. I think everyone on this team should take a few minutes and look at the list of requirements that we have and score those. Give them 1 point if you think that's not so important for you. Give it 10 points if you think it's a must. That will help you understand which of the points we really need in Workstream 1 for this accountability exercise and which maybe are something that you could sacrifice if we could come to a model that is easier to explain or if we tweak the community power so that it is easier to explain or has less unintended consequences, if any. Just to be very clear, this is not meant to be a survey. This is not meant to be a poll. We don't even want to know what your scoring is, so don't share it. But we think it's a valuable, or I think I was the one driving this quite a bit. I think this is a valuable exercise for everyone to come to the table either in person or remotely in LA and join the discussion having some sort of prioritization in mind. So that is point number three, do your personal assessment. And number four, let's now move to the next slide. In drafting the agenda, we should maybe make a distinction between points that already have consensus or are very close to consensus, where we find disagreement from commenters, and other issues which might need a little bit work, but which are more or less consensus or in a good way to consensus. So that is the structure that we recommend, and on the next slides you find some examples. So let's move slides. So there's a list here. You can take a look at that later. But, you know, we have strong support for the existence of the five community powers, for fundamental bylaws. And so there are a lot of areas where we didn't see too much friction inside the community. And we think that this group should help defining that so that we can actually make the best of our time in Los Angeles. Next slide, please. We don't have to walk through all of this, but we have disagreements or different views on the model, on the question of whether voting should take place or not. The budget and stress test 18 are contentious issues. And then for the other issues, can we move to the last slide, please? Other points are human rights conference enforcement capabilities, you know, some questions or areas that need some more work before we can actually come to a consensus position. And, you know, if we populate these lists, if we get clarity on the list, we can then relatively easily craft an agenda based on the priorities that this group has set. And before I close and open it up for comments, I read Avri Doria saying, sacrifice for the ease of explanation, really, question mark, and some other concerns. Yeah, there might be areas where you deem a requirement, let's say criteria for individual board member removal, where you could say, okay, if we can simplify the process, if we can standardize the process, you know, maybe I give up an idea that I had in order to make things easier to convey. That was just the attempt to illustrate things. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that anyone should sacrifice anything, but the prioritization will surely help our group focus on what the essence of our work is, really. And if things remain the same as we previously discussed, so be it. But in order to give fair treatment to all the comments that we received, as we said multiple times earlier, we need to keep an open mind and really revisit decisions that we've made earlier. So with that, I'd like to open it up for comments, or concerns, alternative views. James.
Hi, Jim Gunn. So I have three small points to make. So on the first slide, we talked about a matrix of all of the various models we've discussed. Basically, my impression was going right back to the start of our discussions. So I want to just temper that a little bit and make the point that I think we should be reopening the model discussion from the bottom up again. We've went through it a number of times, and I'm concerned that if we keep reopening the discussion every time that somebody disagrees with the consensus of the group, which is what I'd understood we'd come to, we'll never end up finishing it. What we should be doing should be looking to tweak and enhance the chosen model that we've done. Otherwise, we're going to back and we're recreating the work that we've done over and over again. Second point was on, I think it might be just a misinterpretation, but we can't sacrifice designing a good corporate governance structure for the sake of it being easily explainable. That's a totally separate issue. The issue we have is finding the best corporate governance model for ICANN that's accountable going forward. We have an issue in communications on how we present that, but that's a totally separate issue. You know, there's things that we can do to explain the most complex of models and make that understandable to a broader audience. But when we're choosing what model and what, you know, corporate governance areas that we're seeking to enhance, to be the primary and pretty much only consideration is that it's the best for ICANN, not that it's explainable. Because we can split the report into an executive summary that has a more plain English version. We can have a 6 to 8 page document, and then we can have attached deep dives with all the legal language, but that's a separate issue. And then on the last one, there was notes that we have disagreements on the model. I don't really understand that. We sent the second report out as a rough consensus within the CCWG. The ICANN board, as a stakeholder, has came back and said that they disagree with the model. But that doesn't mean that we do. Let's not conflate the two. They're two separate issues. The CCWG agreed on a model to send out as our reference model, and we had rough consensus around that. And a stakeholder, an important one, yes, I'm not going to denigrate the board in any way, an important stakeholder has came back and said that they disagree. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have disagreement amongst the community on what model to choose. We had broad agreement, and we sent out a public comment report asking for input into our reference model. So we need to be very careful with how we phrase and frame some of these conversations. You know, the community has a proposal, and we've had a stakeholder come back. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to change our model entirely. We should be looking to take the best bits from all of our commenters and all of the stakeholders and improve what we have. We shouldn't be going back to the drawing board simply because the board has disagreed.
Thanks, James. Before we move to Caboose and then to Jorge, let me just add that this overview shall help our group assessing what tweaks need to be made. So, as I mentioned, we are going to have the discussion based on our report, i.e. based on the reference model that our group has proposed. But as you will remember, after the first public comment period, we got some criticism and the group has changed the reference model in order to make sure that some of the downsides or some of the unintended side effects of the previously considered model are eliminated. And we thought it could help our group understand better what needs to be done if we give a visual overview of the pros and cons of the various models with the weaknesses and strengths. But that is just a proposal, as well as including ease of understanding as a requirement. You're saying that it is that we shouldn't sacrifice good corporate governance models for ease of communication, and I take that point. I didn't intend to make any value judgment on either of the criteria. And if you, as well as some of the fellow colleagues in the chat, think that ease of communication should not be a criterion, then it should either not be recognized as a requirement or it should be ranked very low. But there might be other individuals who rank it high. And that's something we need to understand. And this exercise can help us understand what the temperature in the room is and where individuals think the important factors lie. Next in line is Jorge. Jorge, you might be muted.
Hello. Did you hear me?
Yeah, Jorge. Yes, we can hear you now.
Hello, thank you. I'm sorry, I thought Carlos was before me. As I said in the chat room, I would like to stress that at least most of us, we are not Californian lawyers. So perhaps the most interesting part for us is to see how the community powers are shaped and how they are enforceable within the model. That is really the key, at least for me. And so we have to distinguish this part, which is how the community powers are shaped, with what the most accepted or the best possible legal vehicle would be under the present jurisdiction of ICANN. So I think we have to be clear, distinguish between what is the shape of the six or five community powers, depends on how you count them, and what is then as a consequence or as looking to what the community as a whole thinks, what the best legal vehicle to implement those community powers is. Thank you.
Thanks, Walker. I saw Caboose's hand was up, then it was lowered, then it was up again, and now it's lowered. So, Caboose, maybe you could give us an indication to whether you wanted to speak or not. So, Caboose, I suggest you speak first because you've tried to get in the queue earlier. I trust it's a technical issue. So, Caboose, the floor is yours.
Yes, good time. I didn't lower my hand. It was lowered by other people. Three things. First, any comparison chart should be limited to compare the
community power CM sole member and the MEM two only. We should not go back to the previous things. It would be not productive. So we stick to the model that we in Paris we agreed, and we compare that with the MEM. This is one, and I'm sure that our legal team would be quite capable to prepare that comparison and with some assessment supporting us to understand the comparison. Two, we need to have a very solid discussion strategy in the face-to-face. I put many things in the chat. I just raise three of them. One is that we have to first discuss those points we have full disagreement. And there are two areas, the model and the budget and the strategic plan. Two, we have to talk about areas that there are inconsistencies between various parts of the ICANN proposal. And third, the areas which are vague. And I have mentioned that in the chat. I don't want to repeat. And I also mentioned in the chat that I have prepared a document by some revision mark on the area that we thought or I thought that it might be good to discuss. And I asked Matthew. He says that I could share it with the colleagues if you want. That means the entire matrix has been reviewed by me, and I raised the point of difficulties of unclarities in a red highlights, and that I can send it to you if you wish. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tavus. I think that would be much appreciated. It's great to see you putting so much effort in this. Greg Shatton had also circulated his take on the board's suggestions in a chart. So I think this is helping the group a great deal to better understand what we need to discuss. Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Mathieu Basby. I'd like to come back to a comment that was made earlier about the level of consensus regarding the single member model. I think I would really encourage everyone to review the various comments we've received on that particular matter and step back from maybe a perception that it would be only the board that would be raising concerns regarding the model. I think we really need to look at this with an open mind in terms of listening to the underlying arguments, which do not only come from the ICANN board comment, although it's obviously the one comment where most thought has been given to potential alternates. But I think, and maybe it will be confirmed later on when ASO provides us with its communication, that we cannot work on the assumption that the single member model currently gets the level of consensus that would be required to be approved by all the chartering organizations. And when I'm saying that, I think we've made a wonderful work in coming up with this, but we still have a lot to do to clear some of the concerns and address some of the critics or feedbacks we're receiving on this. And so let's not simplify this into it's only the board that disagrees on this. It's not as simple as that, and if you look at the comments from the NRO, for instance, or a number of actually the technical community, a number of concerns are raised around this. Doesn't mean these concerns cannot be addressed, but we need to be very, we need to do the due diligence to review this in light of all the comments we've received, and as was said earlier by Thomas, with an open mind, and keeping also, of course, I'm looking forward to the input from our lawyers to give us more clarity in terms of how requirements are met in the different proposals. But let's really, my message is it's not just board versus CCWG, and that's not the way we should frame the Los Angeles meeting at all, because it's wider than that.
Thanks very much, Mathieu. Tijani?
Thank you very much, Thomas. Mathieu, you spoke my mind. You read my mind. I wanted to say more or less what you said. We have to be open mind. And I think that having more, having the comparison of more more models will give us more information and will make us make a better choice, an informed choice. Not a choice because it was our choice at the beginning. I remind you that we made a lot of choice before, and then we didn't like them when we saw other things. So we will try. I think that the method is very good, and I congratulate you for this presentation. The content of this presentation is very good. I think that if we go in this way, in 2 days, we will come up with a good choice, an informed choice that will be really the choice of the group with all the information, when you have the table with the different models, it will be quite easy to choose, because you will see what is good, what is less good. So I don't think that we have to prevent ourselves from having more choices to choose the best one. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani and others, for making very important points. And if you look at the slides I just presented, in the light of what you said, the intention is to make a step back a little. Let's not allow for our discussion become a war of models. We're looking for the best solution for ICANN, so let's step back and look at requirements, as we did all the way through our work. And I guess at that point, I'd like you to give an indication of whether you think that the proposed alterations to the requirements list are to your liking. You know, maybe we shouldn't spend too much time on it, but nonetheless, it might be helpful to spend a few minutes on this. So do you think that the ease of explaining should be a criterion for our work? So would you like to include it in your thinking? Some have said they don't like it, but is there anyone in this group who wants to make ease of understanding a part of our requirements list? Avi? And Ellen is supportive of this. Avi, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Yeah, Avi speaking. I have problems with making ease of explanation a requirement for defining the solution. We certainly have to be able to communicate it. We certainly have to avoid flourishes for elegance sake in the solution. But I think to say that it has to be easy to understand by some very subjective standard of what is easy to understand, a requirement for the solution itself is way too restrictive. Because I'm not able to understand something when it's first told to me does not mean that it might not be the right thing to do. So I would really worry about such a simplification of our processes guided by what we believe the common person would be able to understand. I think that the real burden for this all really lies in our ability to communicate once we're done with it. And it's the communication skills that are used
to explain the solution and not the solution itself that makes it understandable. Thanks.
Thanks, Avi. I'd like to ask you a follow-up question, so please don't go on mute or even on double mute so quickly. If you had two solutions in front of you that would be comparable in meeting your personal requirements, would you choose the one that is easier to explain?
This is Avery speaking again. No. I would pick the one that was most complete and most met. Rarely do two explanations come out fully equal. They always have implications. They always have connections to anything. Really, depending on the depth you want to go in your understanding, anything can get infinitely complex. So no, I wouldn't go based on, oh, okay, I have a facile explanation of A, whereas B, I need to think about some more in order to be able to explain it easily. No, I wouldn't choose on that basis. Thanks.
Thanks, Albert. Tijani?
Thank you, Thomas. May I propose that you replace ease of explanation by simplicity and clarity? For your question, if I have two solutions that meet exactly at the same level the requirement I have, I would choose the one which is more easier to explain. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. Jonathan. Jonathan, you might be on mute. So Jonathan seems to have an audio issue. Let's move to Alan. And Jonathan, you'll get back in the queue once you can be heard.
Thank you very much. My comment is somewhat in line with Tijani's. I don't think the ease of explanation should be an overall measure. It's important, but it should not be the overall measure. It's a result. I think ease, I think simplicity of the plan is, however, a criteria. It is absolutely standard engineering practice to take a simpler plan over a complex one. There are far less things to fail. There are far less things that can have unintended consequences. So simplicity is, in my mind, a very major factor, but it's not just related to the description, but whether it's actually a sound plan or not. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Jonathan? Okay, let me read out Jonathan's point then, which he wrote in the chat. My point is simply that we need to prioritize measures. Ease of implementation can be a criteria, but it still comes after a comparison to community powers. The sequence here is important. Let's move to Greg Shatton then.
Thank you, Thomas. Greg Shatton, for the record. I tend to agree with many of the comments that come before me. I think ease of implementation or ease of operation really is important. We need to be able to operate under it. I think that explanation is a challenge that we need to pick up, but I don't think it's a challenge that should be beyond our grasp for any work.
Greg, sorry for cutting across you, but you can barely be heard. I cannot distinguish what you're saying.
Let me come off my headset.
Okay.
Is that better?
Is that better? Yes, much better.
Okay. I was saying is that it's important that we be able to that it be reasonably easily operable. In terms of explanation, I think that any decent operable system should be explicable. And I think that only something that's completely inexplicable, that is completely baffling to large sectors of the community, no matter how hard we try, is something that we would need to reconsider. I don't think that we have any elements of our proposal that are truly inexplicable in that fashion. I think we do need to, gauge our audience. I know that, I have to overcome the fact that I am, a U.S. trained lawyer, and that certain things, I will be able to read certain things, but only because I've been doing what I do for, 32 years, counting law school. So that's I'm not the good target audience test. But nonetheless, I think that we can't sacrifice goals for explainability. We need to make sure that we keep our goals clearly in mind, and that the difficulty of explanation is really an issue, I think, of avoiding unintended consequences, or and also, frankly, of the fact that it's a typical sort of criticism that's made of a proposal one doesn't like, rather than one that one doesn't understand. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Caboose?
Yes, I think I have read all of the comments. Some of our distinguished colleagues took a defensive position with respect to the model single sole member model that we have. Some people, they took an offensive against the model of MEM. I think we should have a more acceptable approach, not defending and not opposing, but to see whether there is an understanding that we have established a requirement of enhancement of accountability for the workers in one. We should not attack any method if it is simple, but our criticism would be if any method does not meet those requirements. So our criteria is meeting the requirements but not being simple or complex. The issue is that you have to be very, very careful, and I put in the chat that we have to check whether there is any room for reconciliation between the two methods after we discussed the two methods and compare them, before that we see whether there is any room or not. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Caboose. Izumi.
Hi, thanks. I would rather rephrase the ease of explanation to minimum changes, given that it meets the requirements of the CCWG. So this is absolutely a prerequisite that whatever we come up with will meet our requirements. But given that all the models or the possibilities meet the requirements, I would like to add a preference for the minimum changes to avoid unexpected consequences, as well as in terms of ease of operation. And I would also like to add one more element to consider, which is not listed here, which is being conscious about the timelines. So, of course, again, we have to meet the requirements. That's a must. But we want to think about a way forward that would allow us to meet the timelines in terms of both submitting the proposal as well as completing the implementation of the proposal. That's my suggestion.
Thanks very much, Izumi. So we were... make sure, or we'll try to incorporate those changes in a revised requirements list. Please do add your points. I think that this discussion shows quite nicely how divergent the views on a single, potentially easy criterion are, and I guess that is exactly the discussion that we need, because what's important for one might not be important for others. So, I think for my take on point number one, it has achieved stimulating a discussion, which I think for this first point we should take off list now or off this call and continue on the mailing list. Before we move on with the agenda, let's briefly discuss the political dimension, because as you know, there is a lot of discussion about how the proposal will be received in Congress, whether one model might be easier for politicians to understand than others, if one model is easier to accept, or if there are acceptance hurdles with one or the other model. And this point is potentially very sensitive, because certainly our group is not tasked with coming up with a solution that most easily meets political standards or expectations, but we are tasked to improve ICANN's accountability. Nonetheless, some in the group might feel that this is a criterion we should take on board, and then it might be appropriate for us to try to understand better what the political dimension of our work is. And just for full transparency, the co-chairs have been invited to have a phone call later this week with one of the political advisors that ICANN is using, and we would we have accepted this offer in order to ensure that we understand what the issues might be, and in order to be able to pass this on to our group. But if the group feels that this point needs more more diligent assessment by the whole group, we could take this to the next level and try to get insightful experts with the political scene to advise our group more. Certainly, political perception can hardly be fully anticipated, but we can certainly make sure that our group is better informed to make a better informed decision on how our recommendations might be received, if not to say accepted or rebutted at the political level. So I think I should pause here. I think the first three hands are old hands. The first new hand that I see is Holly's. Holly, over to you.
Hi there. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to remind everybody that on our Sibley team, we have Cam Carey, who was the former general counsel of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and also the former acting secretary of the U.S. Department of Commerce. He happens to be John Kerry's brother. And also Rick Bouster, who was a 28-year U.S. congressman who was very involved in oversight of Internet issues when he was a congressman. They're both part of our team. They follow generally what's going on, and they're available to consult whenever you would like. They have a lot of insights on the political dimension.
Thanks very much, Holly. What I'd like to tease out a little bit in this conversation is first to understand better whether this group thinks that political or the political environment is something we should take into account, or that we should get better informed on. And I guess that if this is the case, if the group wants to use this to inform itself, then I think your offer is gladly received. Phil Corwin.
Yeah, thank you, Phil, for the record. On this question of designing toward political acceptability in Congress or even in the NTIA, but I'll stick to Congress. I wouldn't put a big emphasis on that. It's not clear yet. While the Dot-Com Act has passed the House, it's not through the Senate yet, much less signed into law. But I think it when you look at it, it represents the bipartisan consensus, which is that whatever the community comes up with, accountability should be implemented before the transition goes forward. So I think I would focus on having a plan that provides strong accountability and has broad community support within ICANN, and whatever the details are, I think Congress will probably be comfortable with that. The one thing that they might focus on is whether it could lead to governmental control, but I don't think that's a significant issue for any of the proposals out there now. So I'd focus on creating a good, strong accountability plan that has broad internal support within ICANN, and then I think the political details will take care of themselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Not sure whether this is an old hand. Caruso, your hand is still raised, so if you want to speak, you can do so. I also...
Can I speak?
Yes, please do.
I think that I suggest that we decide not to criticize ICANN because of the late comments. Comments are comments, and they are welcome always before we end up the issue in ICANN 54 in Dublin. So I don't think that we should criticize that. And second, I may raise another question. Is it possible that Becky make a comparison table between IRP of CCWG together with the decision-making process and IRP of ICANN together with the decision-making process, as well as accessibility and costs? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. Let me just put on the audio record as well the concern raised by, or the comment from Jorge, which has received some support, that we should not only look at the political dimension in the U.S., but beyond the U.S., particularly in the light of the WISIS discussions. Certainly my introductory remarks were not meant to lose that out of sight. The suggestion was rather to look at the political level, and if the group wanted to get a better understanding of what is or what might need what might be needed in Washington, then we could try to line up experts providing some information on that, so that we can all better understand. But that's not to say that we can't try to get someone on the agenda to speak to the witness process and maybe provide some insight on what or how that would impact the witness process depending on the recommendations that we make. So I'd really like to, you know, I understand that Phil and others say that political expectations might should not guide our group's thinking. Nonetheless, let me ask the question bluntly, whether you as a group would like to reserve a slot in Los Angeles to get some information on this topic. Would you like to be informed? So if you could please show some support if you would like to obtain some information from that. Okay, so I understand that at this point the group doesn't see the need for getting advisors on this topic on board. We can continue the discussion on the list, and we can pick up that point at any time in the future, should the group so wish so. But we will then not pursue that topic in preparation for the LA meeting. So I guess that, you know, if we If we wanted to, we could discuss points 3 and 4 as well, but I think that we should do so on the list. So please make sure that you send to the list your revised requirements or expectations for revised requirements, which we will then use as a basis for our discussion in Los Angeles. And with that, I'd like to end this this agenda item. I just need to check who's chairing the next portion. I think it is Leon. So over to you, Leon.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And with regards to our agenda item on the discussion of the memo prepared by the lawyers, it was a tentative item. We haven't yet received the memo from our lawyers. We have been signaled that we will be receiving 3 documents today, later, and I see Holly's hand is already up, and I will go to her right after finishing. We've been signaled that we will be receiving 3 documents, one high-level memo responding to the board proposal. We will also be receiving a matrix that will be comparing the board proposal to the CCWG proposal with a legal analysis by our legal team item by item and a summary of the comparison key characteristics of the CCWG proposal with the board proposal. So these 3 documents should be coming in later today. But I will now turn to Holly so she can give us details on this issue. Holly?
That's right, Leon, and thank you. We have been working, and I have to say it's been somewhat difficult because the board proposal is spread through a series of documents, and it is not always clear. We have augmented our understanding through 2 phone calls with Jones Day and ICANN Legal, which we had been requested to participate in. And it's helped us a little bit in better understanding the board proposal. But I have to say, it's still a bit of a struggle to really understand all of the details and get some clear, for some clear comparative purposes. But we've taken a best stab at it. We have had a request on a call earlier this week. I guess it was yesterday, because that's when it was, the week's flying, or Sunday, that we circulate to Jones Day and to ICANN Legal the draft of the matrix before it circulates broadly, so that if there are any misunderstandings, they have an opportunity to clarify them. And we spoke to the co-chairs, and they indicated that that was fine, subject to timing. My hope is to send that chart off to Jones Day and Legal and ICANN Legal this morning within the next hour or so, and ask them to get back to us by 5:00 today. I know it doesn't give them much time, but we very much want to get everything out to everybody today. So that's our goal. I wanted to raise that in case you had any concerns about that time frame. So thank you, Leon.
Thank you very much, Holly. I think we will be ready to receive this very useful information, and I think you've done an outstanding effort to provide us with this information in time before our early meeting. So I thank you. I think speaking for all, for this great work you've been carrying through our many meetings. And I see Tijani's and Kavu's hands are up. So, Tijani, could you please go ahead?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Leon, and thank you, Holly. Yes, it is better to have an interaction with Jones Day and with the board before providing the matrix, the comparison. But we need the comparison before we leave to LA, please. So tomorrow at the latest time. I ask also if it is possible to have the slide deck of the presentation of of Thomas. If you can provide it, it will be good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. We will make sure that we circulate the slides posted by Thomas today. So I remember that Caboose's hand was up. Caboose, did you lower your hand or...
No, I lowered my hand. Lowered the
okay.
hand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. Okay, so I think we will be... I'm sorry for that. I think we will be receiving this information from our lawyers later today. So I don't know if there are any other business at this point. I'd like to turn to Matthew for the next agenda item, which should be any other business.
Thank you, Leon. I assume Holly's hand is an odd hand. Okay. We're on our way to LA. However, just as a reminder, and I really encourage you to have a look at the attendance list. So I will be participating remotely only. So I'll be watching and listening, so do behave. I'm sure you will. The group will be have... in mind the imperative to make progress in this meeting. And in order to make sure the group stays focused, we will be delighted to have our advisor, Ira Magaziner, in the room, as well as Larry Strickling. They are both on the attendant list. So I think it's worth mentioning so that it's something we factor in into our preparation. And rest assured, I will make sure with my fellow co-chairs that we try and have a very productive meeting, and I trust we will succeed in that. And I see a couple of hands raised. Caboose?
Yes, if you are under any other business, I want to very briefly, in 1 or 2 minutes, report to you what happened in ICG meeting. Give me the floor when you reach that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. That's a very good suggestion. Roloff?
Thank you, Mathieu. Roloff Meyer for the record. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Ah, okay. I would just like to request that, considering the fact that I cannot join, and I'm sure there are more people like you, Mathieu, that will not be able to be present in LA, but that will follow and participate remotely. Can we have a day planning or an agenda as early as possible and as detailed as possible and then stick to it? Because I won't be able to participate the whole 2 days, also because of the, let's at least say, the slight offset in time between LA and the Netherlands. But I would like to be able to participate in the most important parts of the agenda. So an early and detailed agenda will help in that sense.
Thank you, Roloff. I think as discussed earlier, there's going to be that's going to be a best effort because I think we'll have to give the agenda some flexibility to accommodate with the developments of the discussions. So I'm not sure we can 100% achieve the goal of the detailed agenda and sticking to it, but certainly the interest of the remote participants will be taken into account, and we'll make sure we attempt to provide as much detail as possible. And I'm well aware of the slight offset you were referring to with the Netherlands. It happens to be the same with Paris.
I'm sure you are. Thank you, Mathieu.
And I noted a comment from Holly suggesting that any lawyer for ICANN or for CCWG be introduced formally so that everyone knows who is sitting in the room. I think that's a useful suggestion so that everyone's aware of who's sitting in the room. And with that, I would like to now turn to Cavus for an update on the recent ICG meeting. Cavus?
Yes, thank you, Matthew. In, on 18 and 19 of September, we had the 2 days face-to-face meeting of ICG. Thanks to the ICANN for staff for the preparations of the material, and thanks to the co-chair for the preparation of the meeting. We have discussed all comments received on the proposals from ICG. Some area we took into account the comments and modified the part zero of the proposals of the ICG, and other area we sent some of the comments to the operational community to comment on that and to have a feedback. In some other area, we had point to raise to CWG, and we formulated a note to send to them, and it is being sent now for seeking some clarification. I and Keith Razak, as a liaison of the ICG in CCWG, we very briefly explained the recent document we received from ICANN, and we gave some views on that and interdependencies, and it was mentioned in an implicit manner that in any way the requirement of CWG as mentioned in the CCWG must be met, so options should not have impact on that, and they were thinking that whether CCWG would end up in Dublin to have a firm output. We said that it is very improbable because it's still we're discussing. ICG wanted to consider whether there is a need to change the timeline, but finally decided that the timeline, as they have already had, remain without any change, and they are waiting for the outcome of the face-to-face meeting in Santa Monica, and also to have some output for the ICANN 54 in order to enable ICG in their meeting face-to-face to consider those results, and they are very confident that we will find some way in order not to have impact on the timeline that was established by ICG. I don't want to take your time, go to the details, but this is a grosso modo something that happened in that meeting. If Keith Razak wants to add something to that, he's most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. I think that's very valuable for our group. I see Keith has nothing to add. The account was clear, concise, and effective. And I think with that, we've no other business to discuss right now. So a number of you will meet on Thursday evening in Los Angeles for drinks. And I'm looking forward to the actual meeting taking place on Friday and for the outstanding progress that I'm sure we'll make during these 2 days. And until then, safe travels to all of you who travel, and don't forget to get a look at the public comment tool until then and sort out your priorities so that our meeting is as effective as possible. Thank you very much all for a very good session, and talk to you very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye.